Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. I hope that everyone is navigating their month on a productive note. For housekeeping purposes, if you go to the homepage of SashaTalks.com, there have been updates made that touch upon some of the engagements that I partake in. Some are collaboration. Also, I made it a note to share some past engagements that have been of timely essence, I would call it. Topics that we have talked about, guests that have participated in sharing their works, I thought revive that part of media and entertainment. If there are any questions regarding services that have to business consulting, anything that has to do with publishing and media that has a separate tab for it, you're welcome to check it out. If you don't know where to go and you would like to partake in one of the activities or service provided, you can go to the contact page and just drop a hello and ask where you need to be directed. My friendly guidance would be just go to the site map. Keep in mind, all content shared through Sasha Talks online, offline, through my BBS radio engagements are subject to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talk. Now, a few days ago, I went for a walk and I started questioning what pertinent to share with the audience. Through my business and counseling engagement, I work with individuals, groups of people, and even in organizations, I see what I'm going to share with you. I thought to touch upon a behavior that we, human beings of all different walks of life, regardless of what we do for a living, need to have a job or career to associate with this behavior. The topic is people pleasing. Keep in mind, I'm going to touch upon it in a topical sense. It is a very broad topic. It could be addressed from a few different aspects of behavior, science, psychology. I'm not taking the academic route. I'm just talking about it. Experience, observation, and the type of challenges that surface when certain behaviors are activated within us. None of us are immune from the laws of life and laws of karma. So what is people pleasing? Whether you know a family member, a friend, a coworker, or just a stranger, whether people pleasing takes place through your verbal speech, the type of decisions you make, and actions that follow. A lot of times people think that people pleasing has to do with kindness. And if I had a dollar for every time I had people telling me, whether it's in a business setting or outside, maybe I'm just too nice. People pleasing has nothing kind. It has nothing to do with kindness. Some people perceive that to be an ingrained survival strategy where the individual who partakes in that behavior, they might want to avoid conflict. They might fear conflict. There are a lot of people that I cross paths with who are conflict avoidant. Now, there's a difference between there's a time and place where conflict will arise. It is life. You will have to learn. You want to thrive in life, how to navigate conflict and conflict management. That is not a bad thing. Conflict is not a bad word. Just because two arrows are going in conflicting directions and they're not aligned does not mean that either party or either situation may be necessarily bad. You can look at everything through the lens of right or wrong, good or bad. If you make everything binary, you might just miss the better, insightful wisdom behind the situation in life. Sometimes people engage in people-pleasing to avoid conflict, for the fear of conflict, the fact that conflict could even surface. Then there are those who engage in it as they fear rejection. They want to be accepted, whether in an accepted environment, being accepted in a social circle, being accepted in a relationship. Because it is a topic that is very broad, and I'm not going to address the extreme ends people please. I'm not talking about people in situations that are of dire circumstance. People are subjected to abusive environment. It comes down to life or death survival, that they are partaking people-pleasing behaviors to remain alive. That is not me sarcastic, but those are realities that do exist. I am not addressing those extreme situations. I'm talking about day-to-day nominal behaviors that may fall under people-pleasing, whether we intentionally do it or we all have been guilty of doing it in some shape or form. And what happens when it just becomes part of your subconscious? Own it as part of who you are. Now, for those who do engage in it and it's a part of who they are, engaging those type of behaviors could definitely build resentment. And I often remind individuals that you are doing something. Are you doing it for yourself? And that doesn't mean in a selfish manner. Are you a willing participant to do what you are doing? Or are you doing that to make someone happy, to earn someone's validation? It's important that whatever you do, excuse me, I'm addressing those of sound mind and health, you understand what you're doing, because you might resent yourself when in fact on the surface you're going to think you're resenting the person or the situation, because it's so much easier to blame everyone but yourself. And those are the type of people that I typically do not work or take on as clients. I don't care. Organizations do that. Individuals do that. Pay attention. What are you doing? Why are you doing? And there's nothing wrong with helping another person out, but there's a difference between whether you're doing it because you're going to get a payoff. It's not coming from a place of kindness. There's some other reason behind that. Is where you need to start asking yourself those questions, and don't shrug it off under the rug, because all of those things are going to build and it's going to come slap in your face at a very inconvenient time. And there are times where people end up engaging in people pleasing, which I tied upon, but I articulated it differently. It has to do with losing a part of yourself, because all of a sudden it feels as you're living someone else's life. That is a form of people. It's a little bit different than supporting someone with their goals while you still maintain your identity. You have healthy boundaries in your life, and you're not all of a sudden giving everything up for maintaining harmony in your environment, maintaining harmony relationship. In those type of situations, I ask the person, do you have self-respect? Because if you have self-respect, it will decrease the occurrences of where you're going to invite resentment. What are your boundaries? Do you have boundaries? You cannot expect to have boundaries, but then you don't respect the boundaries of others. I'm yet to come across anybody who was so poor in their boundaries. It was only isolated in one aspect. If they're going to cheat somebody in their personal life, they're going to cheat somebody in their business, they're going to cheat someone on the street, whether they know them or not, there's no justification. They're all out compromise. It's not you pick and choose where you have boundaries and pick and choose where you're going to be a better Samaritan. No one's asking for perfection, but I recall one anecdote, and may have shared this over the course of time in a different context. I happened to be the wife of a business executive, and we crossed paths and we were just having a general discussion about lifeness, and she shared that there are times where she may join the executives as all of the wives go for a business trip, because it happens to be an annual event for fundraising and it happened to be at a well-known golf tournament. And she said it was the day before the actual tournament, so the guys went out just to have their own fun on the golf course and the wives were sitting back and just enjoying social time. And she told me there was one of the guys who was cheating on the course in some of the most minor ways. And her husband had mentioned that to her. And she said, I don't know who hired him, but you shouldn't have hired him. If he's engaging in those type of behaviors in a social setting, thinking no one's paying attention, can you only imagine what else is going to play out with? It turned out he didn't last in that organization for more than 3 years because he put himself in a compromising position. It involved the law to go pay his dues. It doesn't mean that you look for a small deal and you blow it up and make assumptions about people. But you have to be realistic that if a person is going to be really petty and shady in small day-to-day infraction, how are they going to be you're not watching? Returning to personal boundaries, the rhetorical question would, how do you manage them? Do you have them first? If you don't have them, then how will you manage them? Sort that out. And it doesn't matter if you're a man of young or elderly. I've seen horrible infractions across the board. So we're talking about a being, we're not talking about the attributes of who a culprit for this or not. When you say yes to any request or possible favor, are you saying it yes out of genuine desire, or are you saying yes out of fear of rejection? Or maybe you'll be overlooked next time. You don't move an inch forward in their direction on their terms, not when it is also compliant with your availability and timing. Are you afraid that they're not going to direction again? What is your relationship with the word yes and no. When you say yes, do yes, or are you saying yes because it's so much easier to say yes than no, because you feel that if you say no, you're going to have to justify why you're saying no. Do people respect your no? One thing I've noticed, I've seen this in social circles once upon a time, and I say past tense because I don't create bandwidth for nasty people and nasty behaviors, but I do welcome good people and good behaviors because it can only make me and my audience better. When somebody says no, and they really mean it, you don't need to know them to know whether they, and people around them are turning that no into a yes because they thought, I know you better, so no, you really mean yes. And other people are defining what, if that is happening, then you have poor boundaries. If that is happening, I would question, do you have self-respect? Because if you don't respect yourself, and that shows in how you treat people, how you go about indicating that your action, don't expect other people to respect you. The respect has to begin from you. Next, I would say, ask yourself, to what do you allow people-pleasing behaviors dictate your self-worth in your life and the life of others? And when people engage in self-sacrifice for your time, energy, and you want to do good out there, which is highly encouraged, because what you put out, the universe is going to come back to you. You don't get to control the timing of it or how, but you do want to partake in the goodness of life. At the same time, having boundaries will help you. But if you end up sacrificing all of you, and you're doing it not from a place of kindness, doing it just to survive. Keep in mind, I'm not talking about extreme situations. I'm talking about day-to-day navigating relationships with acquaintances, with people that you know well, with people that you in the form of an acquaintance. Ask yourself, how often do these people-pleasing behaviors ultimately contribute to your sanity? How many of those behaviors have led you to resent something or someone when in fact you're resenting yourself for speaking up or managing a boundary that should be there? We're not here to look at the glass half empty, but the glass half full. The good news is that you can manage yourself. It just comes down to having those conversations with yourself and being honest. If you can't be honest with yourself, don't expect that you're going to be any better off with other people. Now, there's a difference between serving people and pleasing, and the difference is it comes down to motives. Are you building people up by being of service? That is different than wanting to earn favor, wanting to earn acceptance. Now, if you're doing it from a place of putting in the effort and developing yourself, you're better. What is your, are you serving people out there, interacting with them? Or are you just pleasing people? Return on investment on that, in my opinion, significantly you stop pleasing people, it just turns into conditional relationship. So ask yourself, what is your motive will dictate? Are people pleasing or are you of service and be good steward? Is it coming from a place of kindness or people pleasing? Kindness has to do with the desire. People pleasing, for the most part, is transactional. And when you don't get the outcome that you want, whether it is favor, priority, acceptance, that's when you're going to have some emotional mess playing out with whether you acknowledge it or not. Are you doing people-pleasing out of obligation? Now, when you fulfill obligation, it is good to honor you. Most people view it through the lens of serving. But if you're people-pleasing, it may trigger guilt. And in other people, it may prompt and plant a seed of fear. What happens if I don't this? They're probably anticipating some form of loss, whether it is a loss of material gain, loss of a relationship, or they might feel threatened that if they don't people please, something bad. Now, I have come across this very early in life when you're dealing with narcissistic people. Narcissistic people have one thing that I've recognized. They don't believe that they're narcissists. They happen to be victims of something, and they are the king and queens of oppression Olympics, where they have this need to justify why people to cater to them. And all of the common denominators of people, environment, or life lead them to them. Everyone is a problem but them. And if you don't people please them through speech, through this perceived loyalty, they will go off the rails. Rain, really nasty stuff all over people who they perceive to challenge their victimhood. And I will tell you from experience, none of those people lasted long in my life. Because if you're a hot mess, you got to sort yourself out. I do not reserve compassion or attention for that. And if you are somebody who has coexisted with that, you have to understand, if you don't mark your boundary and you continue making excuses for why certain people should tend it to pour them, then you deserve the inconveniences that come in your life. That's a decision you're making. You are turning into them, if you really think about it. So how do you overcome? There is no one set solution, but we did talk about this earlier. How do you set your healthy boundaries? How do you manage your resources? How do you manage and take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically? Are you just running around turning in threads because you accept a rejection? How do you say no? Learning to say no is one of the most valuable traits you can acquire. No is not a bad thing. No is not a bad word. No has a function in life. Just like the word yes has a function in life. If you say yes to the wrong things, it could make your life go upside down. If you say yes to the right things, a blessing in disguise. If you say no to the right things, it will save you time, effort, money, all the hassles of going down an unwanted detour. And it is not a fun detour. It's not adventurous. It will just do a number on your sanity, among other things. When you say no to things, you have a lot to gain. When you say no to things that should have been said no to, again, you're going to be going a wild ride. And learning how to say no is a good trait. I encourage now and then I give talks to high school students, because you're going to have to learn how to navigate life to the type of people you welcome into your path, the type of relationships that develop. Not every person that crosses paths with you has a seat at the table. They might be there as a teacher. They may serve a universal function. And then there are those that over time will reveal themselves. Not everybody reveals themselves. You need to learn how to read situations in your life. And the more decisions you make, you're going to become better at refining them. Navigate relationships. Not personal, all types of relationships out there. How you interact with the environment, the type of obligations you take on by choice. There are going to be obligations in life where a curveball will be thrown at you and you inherit it. Life happens. You're going to learn to deal with it. You're going to learn how to work through it, navigate it. I don't want to say deal with it because it doesn't really deliver any wisdom behind it. Learn to say no. Learning how to say no. You don't have to be nasty. You could, if you are well respected and you develop that respect for yourself, your no will be respect. And if people are starting to disrespect your no, or they're trying to turn no into a yes because for some reason it's cute or that's not who you are, then it's also time for you to start looking at people of whether they really belong in your life or not. I'm not saying don't keep people in your life that challenge you to become better human, but there are going to be a lot of people that just monopolize life and your time, and realizing, why did I invest so much people in wrong spaces? I recall a good friend of mine passed. Prior to their passing, they shared wisdom with me, and they told me that life goes by and I should have spent more time with people who mattered in my life than just spending all over the place thinking I'm live forever. Pay attention to how you invest your time. If you're only going to make decisions the lens of money, keep in mind money is not a bad thing, it is a tool, then you might end up compromising time and spaces. But if you look at it through the lens of time, become better at what you do and who you are, the money will follow. And one of the spaces where a lot of people pleasing happens out there is when people are seeking resources, wanting to acquire them, earn favor. Whatever you do, I often say don't chase it, because that's a very clear sign that you're letting know that you may not be worthy of it. Then there's a difference between being worthy of it and deserving of it. You may not be deserving of it, I should have said. pay attention to your fears, and behaviors are typically a byproduct of the decisions that you ask yourself. Are you making decisions from a place of healthy self-esteem, or are you making decisions from a place of fear and anxiety? Fear and anxiety will always attract more anxiety. I am yet to meet any people who have said fear and anxiety made their life better. It will just push you into more desperate situations, perceived desperate situations, and then you're going to make a decision that most likely will not pan out for you. It might get you through the day, but you're just kicking the can down the road. Address the challenge at hand. Become consistent in managing your fears. That means that if you have embraced to share the word no, and say no when there is a time and place for it. Don't just say no for the sake of no. No has a function. Again, when you go back and think about some aspects of how you communicate in your day-to-day life, do those words really have a function, or are you just saying them on autopilot? People are overlooking because they know that you don't stand by your word, that whatever comes out of your mouth, we could override this individual because we know that they're always flip-flopping on where they stand. So question yourself. Through your people-pleasing, are you building credibility, or are you just letting the world know that you're becoming an easy target for becoming a doormat? And think before you answer people ask you for something. You don't have to be responding with a yes or a no. I recall this was probably when I was 13 or 14 years ago. 13 or 14 years old. That is decades ago. Decades and decades ago. Somebody had asked me for a favor, and I almost meant to respond to help that person out. And my mentor witnessed that exchange in the room and walked up to him and said, "Sasha, don't answer yes or no. Ask the person what is the favor that they're asking for." It was as that person short-circuited my behavior in a good way. And I never forgot it because it plays out in life often. And I'm always reminded of it. Don't say yes or no. Ask, what is it? You don't want to sign up for something without even knowing what you're signing up for. Now, in the context of what I'm sharing, I was 13, 14 years old. Of course, I am learning about life and navigating. And my mentor witnessed that, and she pointed that out to me. And that is one little tidbit about me and in my memory that remains in place. Don't say yes or no. Think before responding and know what you are saying yes or no to. If anything is ambiguous or they're not going to share it until you say yes or no, that's a clear sign that you should not be engaging. And I don't care whether it's a family member of yours, a friend of yours, or a stranger. And finally, keep in mind, we're talking about this in a very general sense. Don't make excuses for bad behaviors, because many of you out there, even in organizations, tolerate bad behaviors that become your standard. And then you guys say, "Oh, I don't know. It just happened." It didn't happen. It happened on your watch. Whether you want to take ownership of that. And as individuals, don't make excuses for other people's bad behaviors, because you'll notice that you're not doing it once. You're not doing it twice. You're not doing it times. It just becomes a lifestyle habit for you because you think that you could walk on water. And last time I checked, none of us are Jesus. So stop making excuses. There's a time and place to know when it is a true positive and a person should be granted grace. And then there's another situation where people engage in the same behavior and they believe that they're entitled to pass for what? Doing what? Nothing. So stand your ground. And in order to stand your ground, it doesn't happen out of the blue. Half gauge in healthy decisions in your day life, and it starts out small. And don't put pressure on yourself that you have to get it right. But the more you hold yourself accountable with these things, you will be more intentional, the type of decisions you make. What decisions are you making? Why are you making them? And decisions that you could live with, and you're not going to resent yourself. You're not going to make yourself less than anybody else. You're not more than, but you're not less than. And big deal if you end up being rejected. Better to be rejected sooner than later, because you have to find out where people stand in your life. You're looking at it as, where do you stand with them? You have to hold them accountable with where they stand with you. So I'm going to leave you on that note. I know I jumped around in a few different directions. If there's any aspect of the talk you would like me to expand on in future, to shoot me a note by going to sashatalks.com on the contact page. If you have a testimony to share, you could do that in writing. There is also going to be another feature where I welcome people to share their testimony in audio, and I will be glad to play it. If you would like to partake in any of the activities on the Authors by Sasha blog, check it out. You could go on the homepage and there is a tab that says Authors. Click on that. It will take you to the blog. There's a picture of the blog, the logo. Click on that. It will take you to the blog to find out some of the things that people are reading, including myself. And if you would like to share your message, again, you are more than welcome to reach out and we'll take it from there. Until next time, be good, be safe, and be blessed.